Brian,
Yes, Trey.
are you ready to do this?
I'm ready to do this. You ready to do
I
this?
think we should do this.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Everything is terrible. Everything is terrible. Everything is terrible. Everything is terrible.
But here's the thing.
Everybody, everyone, everywhere has a choice. Be good humans.
Okay. Why are we here?
Well, I know why you're here.
Why am I here?
You're here because you are a dear friend of mine who tells the greatest stories ever. You've got quite the gift of gab.
Okay, sure.
This is Trey Calloway. He is a Hollywood television showrunner, writer, producer. Ooh. He's written all kinds of hit shows like 911 Lone Star, CSI New York, Supernatural, yeah. Revolution, APB, Station 19, he wrote. And he also wrote the hit horror movie, I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
And get this, icing on the cake here.
What?
He's a fancy schmancy snooty professor at the University of Southern California Film School. And I can only assume the most popular professor.
I still don't pay for my parking. Whatever. The fact is, Brian, you are here not just because you are also a dear friend of mine, but you are here because Brian has literally talked to millions of people. Okay. This is why, because Brian Phelps is a beloved radio personality. He's a writer. He's an actor. He's a comedian. He's a broadcasting legend who for 25 years was half, and you know, the better half, if you ask me, he was half of a beloved Los Angeles morning radio team known as Mark and Brian. They were nationally, globally syndicated. He had his own TV series. He's been in all kinds of other movies and shows. He's got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He is also, quite impressively, freshly inducted member into the Radio Hall of Fame. So quite an impressive.
You know what? I thought that was going to be really cool because I thought I was going to get like a bust, you know, like they do in the NFL.
You didn't get a bust?
Didn't get a yellow jacket. Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing.
That's kind of depressing.
No, it was wonderful, actually. The point is, we've both done pretty well.
Yeah, that's true.
But this show is about something more important than that, and it's about the need to do good. And that's important because, you know, the world can be a pretty ugly place sometimes.
That is true, but we both want to try and make it better. How? Simple. By talking to and telling the stories of people who are trying to do the same thing we're trying to do. In all kinds of small and big and fun and heartfelt and unexpected ways. They are trying to do exactly what my friend Brian always asked his listeners for all those 25 years to do at the end of every broadcast, and that is to be good humans.
So we, a little about our relationship. Trey was in prison and I was a freelance conjugal visitor. And
those were some dark days.
No. We met about 5 years ago and it immediately became best friends.
Mm-hmm.
It just clicked. We have so much in common. Our outlook on life, our what we do for fun, the things we loathe basically are parallel. For instance, we're both musicians.
Yeah.
We both love music. We're both, and don't hold this against us,
please.
We're both drummers.
It's true. Neither one of us is spontaneously combusted yet. It could happen during this episode.
Can't really dust the vomit.
Certainly. But we are both drummers. Yes, we both love music dearly. And you, like, again, by virtue of the show that you did for all those years, like, you've got every major rock star on your speed dial. You've played with all kinds of people, aside from the show or as a part of the show. You've played with all kinds of, like, I want to know, tell me what is, like, the greatest, the biggest show you ever performed as a musician.
Well, I got to sing backup. This was one of my favorites, but I got to sing backup with Kevin Cronin and REO Speedwagon.
Heard it from a friend.
Yeah. That was really fun. I performed with Foreigner. This was huge. I loved Yes, the Trevor Rabin year with Yes.
Yes.
Trevor's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite songs in the Big Generator album was Love Will Find a Way.
Oh, that's a good song.
It's such a good song. Good drumming song.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to play drums with the entire band.
Oh, my God.
But my all-time favorite, to answer your question.
What, none of those were big enough?
Those were all huge.
Okay.
Equally huge.
Yes.
But this is just... this sounds fun to say, but okay, there's a little story behind it.
Okay.
Fun to say, though, but I actually was the drummer for Chicago at Caesar's Palace.
Oh, my God.
Now, Chicago had been on the show many, many times.
Yeah.
These are great guys. We've introduced them at the Hollywood Bowl. We just really adore
huge theaters. Seminal acts.
Yep. And anyway, they were performing in Las Vegas at Caesar's Palace, and I didn't even know. I just happened to be at Caesar's Palace with my girlfriend, and didn't get tickets to the show because it was sold out.
Of course.
But Caesar's used to have this kind of an oval bar in the middle of the casino.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah. As it was kind of a big oval bar, and they'd have stage, and the best cover bands in the world.
Oh, that's cool.
Would play there, and I like you, I adore a good cover band.
Yeah, there's nothing better.
So I'm sitting there with my girlfriend, and who walks in is James Pankow, the trombone player of Chicago. Brian, how you doing? Oh, doing great. And then about 5 minutes later, Walter Perezader, the saxophone player, then Robert Lamb.
Oh my God.
And then Lee Loughlin, the trumpet player.
The whole band.
So they're just all there. They're just, my girlfriend is like freaking out. Oh my God, they know you. The lead singer, they just finished a song of this cover band that leads you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are honored.
Like you got to do.
We have Chicago.
Sure.
And the guys kind of just were smiling. They're really sweet guys. Mm-hmm. And could we please ask you to come up on stage to play a little Chicago for us? Anything you want to play. Just come up on stage. So they started walking.
There's a problem.
Yeah. The drummer.
They don't have a drummer.
Not. Their drummer wasn't there.
Not at the bar, yes.
Luckily, he showed up late. You know, I think you and I have talked about this, where it's always a dream if you're in a concert with one of your favorite bands. Oh, yeah. You dream about the announcement. It never happens. Ladies and gentlemen, is there a drummer in the house? Our drummer just broke his arm or, you know, spontaneously combusted.
I could do it.
So, but as they're walking up on stage, James Pankow grabs my jacket and pulls me up. He goes, sit down, because he knew I played drums.
Okay.
And so I got to play drums with Chicago in Caesar's Palace. I just love saying that.
Well, why not? That's incredible.
All right. Now, what about you? Now, all your musical connections with and your love for...
Listen, I can't touch yours, but I am proud of one particular musical accomplishment. I was a part of a band that opened at the Fonda Music Box Theater in Hollywood. We opened for the Bengals.
We opened for the Bengals.
This was actually part of a rap party for a big movie that a friend of mine directed. And yes, Susanna Hoffs reunited with the members of the Bengals to play a full set. And so we were the opening band for the Bengals. I also, at a school fair where Chuck Negron, the legendary singer, was a parent, we opened for Three Dog Night, a version of Three Dog Night at a kid's school fair.
Yeah.
But the Bengals would be the bigger. That would be the bigger.
Please tell me you opened for Bengals on a Monday.
It's a manic Monday, perhaps. Yes. Would have been right, but it was a weekend.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So, like, okay, so yes, we've had this good fortune to play with amazing players and you more than I, certainly, but we love this notion.
And let me interject, he's a better drummer than I am. I'm not bad.
It's not true.
But yeah, I think
it's not true. But I know that we also love concerts and we love that sort of big spectacle of music, but also I love like the small shows.
Oh yeah.
Like, right. It's like, there's nothing cooler than when you go to like a small club to see an intimate performance with someone where you can really feel connected to the audience, where you feel really connected to the performer as an audience member. All that stuff is really great. Yes. The other thing that I really love, that's kind of in that same zip code, at least.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about this, but I love karaoke. Where do you come out? Because it kind of divides people sometimes.
Yeah. I learned to love it, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I learned to love it, and it was the first time I went with the date. She loved karaoke, so we're sitting this years ago. We're sitting in the valley somewhere, a pretty popular place. Maybe you've heard.
I hit Koreatown.
I don't.
So you come from the valley. Okay. That's right, fine.
Yeah, I don't remember where it was, but I sat there, and my girlfriend was looking at the catalog. And she goes, "What are you going to sing?" I said, "I'm not really a karaoke guy, but I can't wait to hear you sing." And she goes, "You sure?" Oh, I'm positive. Two drinks later.
Oh, there you go.
That damn catalog.
Yes.
Once you go and you see these people that aren't many of them aren't very, very talented, as it were. This is not what they do for a living.
Right.
But they're up there singing. And the thing that smacked me in the face, and I love this so much, was that how supportive the audience is. But the more you kind of stink up the room, the more support you're going to get. That's because correct. Everybody wants everybody to be nice at correct. A karaoke bar.
Then that is the magic of karaoke in my experience. It's not about how good you are. Yes, there's always the ringer who's incredible.
Yeah.
The local legend who comes in and the crowd quiets and they can't wait. There's also always the person who stinks up the room and you're kind of gritting your teeth, but you're also rooting for them. And this is what I love about karaoke, Brian. It gives us all the opportunity we need as human beings to just simply be heard. Sometimes people just want to be heard. They need to feel seen and heard, especially when times feel a little bleak, feel a little dark around them, when they're facing challenges. That notion of being able to be heard can be more important than anything else. It's genuinely a gift, and it can happen in the wildest, most remote of places, including a little town called Vandermeer, North Carolina. Okay, so tell us a little bit about Vandermeer.
Okay, we're a small town on the inner banks of North Carolina, the eastern part of North Carolina, about 250 people. We have hurricanes about every 3 to 7 years, and a few families leave every time. So the town is dwindling down to very little commerce and mostly retirees and people work out of town. So we just felt like we had to open up kind of like a convenience store, but we got into the bait and tackle, and it's just provided service for, you know, people that are still around.
Sure, sure. So joining us are Russ and Debbie Hudson of this legendary community of Vandermeer.
Now, Russ and Debbie, I love this. You've been married
44
years. You've been married.
Born and raised both in Vandermeer. We've never left, and we're probably going to die here.
Yeah, we were raised
five houses apart.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I got to ask then, how old were you when you started dating?
Five.
Wow, that's amazing. This has nothing to do with anything, but I have to ask, Debbie, how did he propose to you?
Well, let's see. We were in his mother's den.
God, she remembers.
And he said, we got to get married. Will you marry me?
Was he on one knee?
Yeah. No, he was not. We were laying down watching TV.
Oh, sure. You were watching TV.
Sure.
Okay. So Russ and Debbie own and operate Squitters Bait and Tackle and Lodge. I saw your website, and you also have a little lodge there in the back, right?
So, we do.
So Bait and Tackle, based on the bait and tackle shops of my youth, and I'm sure yours as well, Brian, we're talking about worms and minnows and rods and reels and bobbers and spinners and lures and probably some Cheetos and hopefully some ice cold beer, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you got it, man. That's typical classic small town bait and tackle shop. It's
coldest beer in Vandermeer.
All right. So it's kind of a general store too. You can get canned goods and that kind of thing.
Correct. Very small canned goods, but we do have that.
All the basics, you know, flour and sugar, mustard and mayonnaise, and of course, spam and.
There we go. Okay, so in other words, the kind of a cornerstone business in this community of Vandermeer, and you guys sit on the Bay River, right, on the waterfront, basically there in Vandermeer.
Correct.
That's right.
Correct.
Okay. So take us back, if you would, please, to 2018 when your community of Vandermeer got I guess the best way to describe it in the nicest terms would be a very unwanted visitor by the name of Hurricane Florence.
That is
correct.
True.
Florence was not our bad one as far as the store goes.
Hell, it was bad enough.
I mean, it was waist deep in the store in 2011, and Florence only got us a little above the knee deep.
Yeah, in the store.
In the store, yeah.
So like 28 inches of water in some houses and in your establishment, Squitters?
Yes.
Correct.
That's right.
So, you know, just having had, you know, the occasional kitchen sink backup or, you know, whatever here in urban life, like, that is its own nightmare. But I'm trying to imagine what this must have been like for you guys specifically in your business and your home, but also the other members of your community. This is the kind of thing that could be really devastating, I'm imagining.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, all the pictures that you see on the news and all of hurricanes. Well, we're such a remote area and there's not a whole lot down here, so it's not a whole lot of monetary loss. But yeah, people suffer the same results as if it were to hit Miami Beach. I mean, it was, you know, high tide water coming all up the streets and in people's yards and in their garages and you know, and in their house. And the water goes out, you know, when the wind changes around, if the storm doesn't linger too long, and the water goes right out. At, you know, when they come in, they don't ever take anything out with them. They just bring a lot of stuff in, you know, in. And we have
leaves it.
So being from a small farm town, very, very small, not quite as small as Vandermeer with population of 250, but very, very small. And when something happens catastrophic like that, we didn't have any hurricanes, but we had like 10 feet of snow. And we the whole community automatically, without giving it a second thought, kind of bands together and help your neighbor, help out people. In small communities like Vandermeer, I'm assuming you guys did as well.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we did. And we had a lot of help in the store. You know, people coming in with a water hose, you know, and rinsing out everything and
sanitizing.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. but everybody's in the same boat.
Prediction.
So we try to help each other as much as we can while we're helping ourselves as well. You know, so
right.
3 to 5 days, you know, power is pretty bad.
You know, electricity for 3 to 5 days. That's right. And oof. It's a struggle, but we get through it.
Back in those Florence days, when you're knee deep in the mud and the muck, and you're trying to pull yourselves out of it, and as you said, Debbie, literally trying to hose each other off and sanitize everything. You know, when we're in these kinds of experiences that really challenge us, people handle these things in different ways. And the two of you at least found initially a way to sort of help yourselves through it. And apparently that was karaoke.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened in 2018. The thing that started the karaoke was after we were flooded, this group of volunteers came
to help
from all over the country. I think their main office is in New York, and they were called All Hands and Hearts, and I'll put a plug in for them.
Absolutely.
And without those guys, you know, we wouldn't have really known how we would get back in business. But they showed up about 3 days after the storm and wouldn't know if we had any beer. And we told them, yeah, but our coolers are down and, you know, we don't have any electricity. And, of course, they already knew that. And they said, well, they've got about 40 people that want to come over and have a beer with you. Have you got any igloo coolers and some ice? I said, well, the ice machine is flooded about 2 blocks up. It floated about 2 blocks away from the store up in the Methodist Church parking lot.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any ice. He said, well, if you get some ice and a couple coolers, we'll come down tonight. And they just all came and hung out, and they were camped here. They were based here in this area, you know, as volunteer workers to help people through the storm. And when we got our electricity back, we just kind of started singing karaoke
on Saturday night.
They started hanging out then. It was kind of their cool place to hang out, and they played darts and just socialize.
That's right. They worked 6 days a week, and they had off on Sundays. So they would get back to Camp Vandermeer was their base, and they could walk the Squitters because it was only a block away.
And you know these wonderful volunteers, they can put back the beer.
I mean, they've earned it.
Hey, look, we never even heard of IPA beer until they came. So
weird beer. And then our beer sales went through the roof, and they were here a year. We got to know them. We hosted a Christmas here for all the volunteers that couldn't fly back to California for 2 days.
Sweet.
And we helped about 35 that Christmas. We fell in love with them. I mean, we got to know them.
With good reason. And thank you, by the way, for my new favorite way to describe IPA, which is weird beer. That's going to be with me for it is weird. So we're back there and you guys are really, these volunteers are giving so generously of themselves and their time. But something pulls you guys toward singing. Talk to us a little bit about that, because, you know, Brian and I have our own loves for music and karaoke as well, which we talked a little bit about before you joined us. But talk to us about what was it about music and about karaoke and singing with people that helped get you through this crisis?
I got this one. Russ is a drummer.
Okay.
And one of our local singers is here in town, and guitar players, and then a couple of Heather from New New York was an opera singer, and she said, well, we ought to do some karaoke. So Russ goes home, drags the Marshall down there, and computer screen, and now we have a flat screen, but she said, let's do karaoke. He come home, got a mic and a Marshall, and that's how it started.
Yep, and the thing is, you know, music is international. People like music, and people like to sing, whether they can really sing or not. They don't know they sing bad, but our motto is, you can't sing
wrong, squitters.
that's perfect.
So, okay, so you guys start singing. Now, of course, we've got to ask, everyone's got go-to karaoke songs here, Russ and Debbie. And so we want to know, Russ, what's your go-to karaoke song?
Well, I let other people sing more than I do. I'm kind of like the DJ, but my wife's go-to song is Proud Mary by CCR.
Oh, wow.
Proud Mary.
Nice. Now, I thought I read somewhere that you did a little Elvis, Russ.
He does.
Yeah, Elvis is probably my favorite all-time entertainer. And you know, everybody would like to sing like Elvis. I give him a run for his money, being he's dead and everything.
I bet. That he do.
So, okay. So Debbie, Proud Mary is your go-to. I'm sure you turn it into your own version of Proud Debbie. So that's your go-to. And then, you know, Russ, when you do sing, you sort of channel the king a little bit. What other kinds of music does the community sing? Is it a pretty broad-based menu of tunes? Or?
Yeah, it's Blackberry Smoke, Little Bitty Town.
Yeah, we sing a little country rock and some Skynyrd, stuff like that. We also do some Frank Sinatra, some Bobby Darin, you know. And
a little bit of everything.
Whatever they want to pull up. If it's on the internet.
We pull it up, yeah.
So did this kind of just take off? You know, you did it with these volunteers and your friends that sing, and it just kind of became like an every week thing. What is it, Saturday nights? Is that when you guys are wailing?
Yeah, fairly simple, but you know, it's a good Saturday night out when you don't have to drive very far. You can just come hang out with us.
People come on their bicycles or golf carts. They walk. I mean, it's now we can't. You know, the locals won't even let us shut it down.
Neither. I'd be right there with them. No, but people are actually, it's kind of taken off so much. People are coming from like 3-4 counties away now, aren't they?
Very true. Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yeah, but we have to shut down. We have to shut down at like 10 o'clock p.m. because my mom's the mayor.
Really? Wow. Now, will your mom ever show up and sing a tune?
She has. Actually.
She has, but, you know, she really don't approve of that, but still.
She likes music, too. That's where I get it from. So she allows it until 10.
Yeah. Sometimes it's 10:30, quarter or 11, but, you know, we're tired. We open up at 7 in the morning on Saturdays, and we're old.
Well, sure.
We're like, okay, everybody, last call for alcohol. We're leaving.
Okay, so.
You ain't got to go home, but you
can't stay here.
Now, you guys are on the basically the honor system when it comes to beers and drinks. Is that correct?
That's correct. Everybody keeps hold of their tabs and they pay at the end of the night.
The pull tab on the beer? They just
pull tab on the beer, the cap.
Yeah, bottles are $3 and the tabs of cans are $2.
$2, yeah, we're cheap.
Pretty easy.
Well, Russ, you have a quote that was in a story someone wrote, and I just I started laughing so hard, and I don't know why it tickled me so much, but it did. Said, yeah, we're on the honor system here. Sometimes I lose money.
Yeah, the next day we go down and scrub and clean, and we find tabs on the floor.
Yeah, well, they didn't turn them in.
Drop them out of their pocket, or they, you know.
But you know, it's not enough to make a whole lot of difference.
No, we're pretty good.
Well, I'm sure the locals take care of you, but those are probably people, you know, three counties away that are cheating you.
Yeah, exactly. It would be nobody from Vandermeer,
right?
So out of literally out of the muck and the mud, you all collectively found a way to lift your own spirits and sort of help pull everybody back together again through this the simple magic of music, right?
You got it. That's why we do it.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, listen, we deeply love the opportunity to speak with both of you about this, but especially what we appreciate the most is, you know, not everybody, when times are tough, thinks to pick up a microphone or put on some some music and try to sing their way out of the blues, much less involve the rest of the community in it, from the local residents all the way up the chain to the mayor. So I think in our way of putting things and viewing things, correct me if I'm wrong here, Brian, but Russ and Debbie seem to be genuinely good humans.
Absolutely, they do.
You've given both of us, not to mention our listeners, about 8,000 reasons to get to Vandermeer as soon as possible. Not the least of which is for karaoke night on Saturday nights, but especially because we know in being there at Squitter's Bait and Tackle with Russ and Debbie Hudson, we are going to be surrounded by good humans.
You are, definitely. Yes, we've got a lot of good people in this town.
Yeah, you do. And don't be surprised if we show up on your doorstep there and maybe sing a couple of songs.
Okay, great. Let us know.
Give us a heads up. We'll put on the dog.
Yeah, you can stay here with us.
Russ and Debbie, thank you so very much. We really appreciate your time. This has been an absolute blast to chat with you.
Been a pleasure.
Okay, thank you guys.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You know, you should know, we were speaking with basically 2/3 of my family.
Oh my God, your family and my family together.
Yeah, that's like my aunt and uncle.
I wish I could be sitting right there, right now, you know, like a soda in my hand and that bucket full of worms.
As you know, you and I ever go, Saturday night.
Yeah, they're going to put a dog on for us.
They're going to put a dog on. Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
Put a dog on for you. We would have a blast.
Without question, but I neglected to ask you, what is your go-to karaoke song?
First of all, if we were there, I would have to grab Russ and actually get up on stage and do some dueling Elvis.
Oh, a king off.
He kicked my ass, I'm sure, but we do a little Elvis. I also do, for my mom, Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash.
That's good.
I apologize for saying this, people. If you've ever been to karaoke, you know, there's always one guy that sings all Neil Diamond all the time.
Well,
that would be me.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to do it, like you said. So you get up there and do Sweet Caroline.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to bring the house down.
Okay, what about you? What are your go-to?
Okay. I'm maybe a slightly different demo from the crowd at Squitter's, but my go-to are Tempted by Squeeze.
Which I love.
That's one that's just kind of right in my range. And then, Fooled Around and Fell in Love by Tulsa's own Elvin Bishop.
I haven't heard that song forever.
Yeah, that one kills. But anyway, regardless of what we're singing, what we're trying to say here is that Russ and Debbie are an abundantly clear example of what we're trying to highlight in this show, which is people who, in a variety of different ways, big and small, are just trying to make a positive difference in the world, and therefore are, by definition, what we like to call good humans.
And you know what? While we're defining things, like we sing in our Dippy theme song, everybody, everyone, everywhere has a choice.
Yes, but we should clarify what we mean by that, right? Because there's lots of things we don't have choices on.
Hold for the defining and clarifying section of
the show. A brief disclaimer. There's lots of things that we don't have choices about, right? You don't have a choice about what family you're born into, whether you're born into poverty or wealth, or you could be born with disabilities. There's all kinds of things, challenges that each of us face that we don't have any choice over and that we frankly can't control. However, the one choice we do all have and the one bit of control that each of us has is how we choose to react
right.
Those things.
Exactly. And it depends on the day you're having. You make a good choice. And you make bad choices, too.
Yes.
We're not asking anyone to change who they are.
Yes. By highlighting good humans, we're not saying that any of you listening are bad humans.
Well, I can think of a couple who will be listening. All right. That's going to do it for this show.
Yes.
Tune in next week when we'll be doing the entire show not wearing pants.
Well, what he means by that is he won't be wearing pants. We need to talk about this. I don't know if this is going to work. But in the meantime, I can't think of a better way to wrap things up than to give you the honor which you earned for 20 years.
All right.
So any parting words?
Be good humans.